Hup, hup, hup. Dingle, dingle, ikke med.
Welcome to the Tupacast.
Let me see with my imagination.
To the Tupacast.
I don't understand the numbers.
Welcome to the one, the only Tupacast.
Welcome everyone to Tupacast episode 4. Tonight I have two very awesome guests with me, and we are going to talk Transformers. My first guest is Mark Alley. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you doing tonight?
I'm awesome, man. I've been excited and waiting to talk to you for quite a while, so this is going to be fun.
I know. It seemed like it just didn't happen for a long time, but it looks like everybody's schedule's freed up, so I'm glad.
Yeah, this is going to be good. And returning for the fourth time in a row is Kevin.
Hey.
Call this the Zerbinator podcast. How's it going, Kevin?
I'm like your old familiar easy lounge chair that sits in the corner. I'm always there. So there you go. So,
which one's Johnny and which one's Ed? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is Chris Johnny? I mean, are you just the guy that just goes, oh yes? Or, I mean,
I would definitely have to be the McMahon of the group. Definitely. I'd be like, oh. That would be my job.
There you go.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Kevin.
Sure.
For coming back.
Sure.
Tonight we're going to talk Transformers, but before we do that, I always like to do the icebreaker just to kind of get things rolling.
It's time for the icebreaker.
So tonight, the question I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, what item that you don't already have in your possession would you most like to own? Mark?
You know, I'm just going to totally shift from the Transformers thing for a little bit.
Transformers.
Yeah, you know, beyond that, I mean, the Transformers, I got plenty of those. But my game room, our garage is a game room, right? So we've got like a pool table out there and, you know, a couple, like a MAME cabinet to play arcade games and a few other things like that. But something I've really been wanting for a long time is a pinball machine.
Oh, nice.
The problem is pinball machines are like extremely expensive. So like even a bad one is going to be like $500 or $600, you know? And I'm just not willing to throw that kind of scratch down for one just yet. But it's kind of a funny story. This past weekend, I've had a buddy looking for me for like bottom bargain basement value priced pinball machines. And he sends me this link to one that was in Tulsa, which is about 4 hours away from me. And it turned out that this one was it was $250. And I was like, great. I was about ready to go down to get it, you know, right then. And then I looked at the pictures and stuff, and it was, you know, like totally half naked woman on the art everywhere. And so I show the wife and she's like, I think you know what I'm going to say. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's just what could have been, you know? Oh, well, so sooner or later I'll get one, but not this weekend.
I think I have that one. No, I don't.
Do you? I think it was called Panthera. It was just like a big cat, like a Black Panther and a woman on it. That was it, pretty much. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Nice. I've heard that they're really hard to keep running. Is that true?
Yeah. Mostly, I don't know exactly when, but sometime in the 70s probably, they moved from where it was just like moved to like the solid state stuff where it's got like chips and stuff in it, more like a computer would have. And those are a little bit easier to maintain than the old electromechanical stuff, which is basically just a rat's nest of wiring inside. So that's also an issue. I have a buddy that works on him though, so I was hoping that he could help me with that kind of stuff if it would ever come up. But yeah, otherwise I'd have no clue about how to fix that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even think about that, about arcade games. Hmm. All right, Kevin, you got something?
Something that I've always wanted and do not have?
That exact pinball machine?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
My wife loves pinball machines. I like pinball machines. There was two I loved. The Kiss one, and then there was one for Halloween that had a whole bunch of haunted house stuff on it back in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I think it's just called Haunted House, maybe.
Okay, then that's what – yeah, and that I played for hours. So if I had one, it would be one of those two. Let me think. God, something I don't have that I wish I had.
Hey, while Kevin's thinking.
Because it's going to take a while.
So, we'll continue tomorrow.
yeah.
Hey, what's the, is there a trick to pinball? Because I can never last more than like a few seconds. It always goes down the
line. I know the answer to that. There's these two triggers on the side buttons, and if you press those, that shoots the ball back into play.
What? When did they start using those?
No, go ahead and answer. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll keep picking.
Well, I'm not very good either, to be honest. I think it's just more than anything, it's just being very familiar with the rules of the machine and trying to figure out like what targets you need to hit in what order to try to get the multi-ball or, you know, that kind of stuff. I didn't really know it was that big of a deal. I thought it was just like, oh, you just go and play for 2 or 3 minutes. And then one of the local game stores here had a pinball night. And so all these people brought their pinball machines in and they had a league going. And so I'd go and I'd watch these guys play pinball and they go for like 20 or 30 minutes just on one machine. And, you know, me and my son, we played our four games and we were done in 15 minutes. So it was pretty interesting to watch these other guys play. So it's definitely a skill to it. I just haven't quite got it yet. I don't know.
I inevitably tilt because I get up frustrated and angry and then I start bumping the machine. And then,
aren't you supposed to kind of wiggle it and stuff or no?
Not too much.
That's you can't do too much, but you can do it some.
Yeah.
To try to just like if it's balancing on, you know, a chute that's going to, it's either going to drain on you or it's going to stay in live. You can just kind of nudge it a little if you're really good at it. I'm not. So it usually when I try to nudge it, it just doesn't do much at all. So
the legs break off.
Yeah. It just goes.
I came up with an idea.
Okay.
I think what I would like is all new studio equipment. That would be it. Because the computer is about to die. My guitar, I need to replace that. And it's time for new equipment. It's sort of like I've been using the same stuff since, most of it's about at least 10 years old, including this computer. I got this in 2007. And it's starting to fry out. And the external hard drive, I'm down to 5 gigs from the original, what I think it was a terabyte that I had in there. So I'm down to 5 gigs.
Wow.
I'm starting to lose it. Some, and it's also pictures and music but stuff I've written and, you know, podcasts and things like that, that I've collected over the years. So yeah, that's all. So if anything, I would like a brand new studio, recording studio, music studio, and podcast studio. That's what I would like. And the room to put it in.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. With a pool table in the corner.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to say the G.I. Joe USS flag, the big aircraft carrier that's like 7 feet long.
You guys definitely. The toy? Absolutely.
The toy? No.
Mm-hmm. I'm out. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is.
So the G.I. Joe toys in the 80s, they made an aircraft carrier, and it's like 7 feet long. It's huge. It's a huge toy, and you could put the airplanes on it. I mean, it's huge.
Wow.
It's like, and it's one of those things. When I was a kid, I think I knew about it. I think maybe we saw somebody that had one.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. But it was kind of like, oh, that's the Holy Grail of G.I. Joe. But
the funny G.I. Joe toys.
But the reason it kind of stays in my mind is when we were in maybe high school or something, we went to a garage sale, and my brother swears that they had one for sale, but we didn't have money, you know, because we didn't have our own money, and we weren't too interested, I guess, and we left. I don't remember that, but my brother said, yeah, it was there, and we kind of passed it up. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't pass it up, but for whatever reason. So now the joke is whenever, like, if my parents go to a garage sale or they go to a thrift store, I'm like, do they have the USS flag? You know, it's like a joke. But because it's like, you know, we missed it one time, apparently. And my parents went to Missouri 2 years ago, and they stopped at some kind of general store it was just covered, like the walls, everything was just, there was just stuff everywhere. And up on one of the shelves was the USS flag box. Yeah, like up on the top. Wow. And my dad took a picture of it. And then when he got back, he's like, look, they had the flag. And I'm like, well, was it for sale? And he's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, was it just an empty box, or was the, you know, was the toy in there? He's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, you didn't ask? Like, what if it was like $50? That thing's like worth like $4,000, you know?
Yeah,
so,
it's expensive, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm like, you saw it. So I'm like, that's twice. You know, it's like, come on, guys.
Did he take a panoramic shot just so he could get it all in there?
It was like he's tormenting me. Like, hey, look, I saw this. Here's a picture of the box.
And I'm picture like, what you don't have there, son.
I'm like, you got
that is like
me,
torture. That is like torture.
You got to at least ask. Like, maybe it was just on display or something.
Have you eBayed it? Have you checked on eBay or anything like that?
Oh, it's yeah, like $4,000 in a box.
Do a Kickstarter campaign. Say, look, I'll draw you a picture if you get me $4,000 to buy this boat.
Right. I'll be like, look, guys, my parents could have got it for me twice.
Yeah, tell that story.
Yeah, it was at a garage sale. Come on! But anyways.
I remember watching the Bozo Show. Did you guys watch the Bozo Show when you were kids at all? Okay, and one of the prizes, the grand prize in that grand prize game where they throw the ping pong balls in the buckets or whatever, was the USS flag. I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. Yeah, you know.
Oh, man.
I never saw anybody win it, but it'd been neat. There's an arcade. I live in Missouri, so it was kind of strange that you posted about your parents coming through here. But
I'm going to find out that store.
yeah, there you go. I'll go check it out for you.
You go check it out. Yeah, next thing I know, Mark will have his USS flag in his house.
Yeah.
He's got this awesome boat. He'll sell it to you for $5.
I'm going to mount it to my roof. But
yeah, it was
they have a USS flag. Yeah. They had a USS flag at this arcade in Springfield, Missouri. It's called the 1984 arcade. And they've got like a bunch of vintage toys and things. And they've got, up on this one big high shelf, they've got the USS flag. And it's just enormous. It's so huge.
Hey, have you guys seen that TV show, The Goldbergs?
No. I know of it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. In their basement, they have the USS flag in the background.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. It's just in the background. They don't ever really talk about it, you know, but it's there. And I'm like, is that the USS flag? So I paused it, and I'm like, holy crap, that's the USS flag. It's just like in the background. I'm like, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. I bet there's a bunch of stuff like that in that show.
That's a fun one to just kind of like pause and look at the posters. He's got like a Ghostbusters poster. I think Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fun. That's a cool show.
I have to check that out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's basically the Wonder Years, but it's in the '80s. So it's got all the pop culture and all the '80s references. It's really fun.
All the good stuff.
My kids and my wife got the season 1 for me yesterday for Father's Day.
Oh,
so
cool.
So we watched a bunch of gift. One episode's totally Goonies. Like the kids dress up like the Goonies kids, and they go on a Goonies adventure, and it's awesome. It's fun. It's perfect.
Sounds familiar.
Okay. Yeah, really. Y'all ready to talk some Transformers? We're going to talk Transformers, and I am going to let Mark Alley lead off this discussion. Mark Alley has written a book called I Was Geeky When Geeky Wasn't Cool. He knows a ton about Transformers, so I'm going to defer to Mark, and then we will just jump in whenever we can. That makes sense.
I should probably talk first about. I could talk about how I know Christopher a little bit. I read the Retroist website all the time, and I've listened to the podcast and stuff for years and years. And I'd seen Chris's work on the Retroist and all that, and then several years ago, he was compiling stories for a book called "Playing with Toys." Isn't that what it was called, Chris?
Right, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm glad it made a great impression on you. That's wonderful.
Now that you mention it, I totally remember your story, but I forgot I put that book together. I'm not doing very good at this.
So anyway, he was like, he wanted people to talk about their stories about toys, playing with toys from back in the 80s. So I wrote up, I had a little thing about a toy story, so to speak, and I sent it to him and it got in the book. And that's how I met Christopher really. And so here I am on the Tupacast, right?
Cool.
That's a really cool book. I like all the stories in there. Did you ever see that, Kevin?
No, I haven't seen it, but I definitely want to see it.
Yeah.
All right, you're off the podcast.
I'll see you. Thanks.
No.
It's stories about, well, there's like 14, I think like 13 or 14 people contributed stories, and it's basically stories about them playing with toys as a kid, or, or what toys they liked, or the thoughts they had when they were playing with toys. It's really cool. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
I definitely want to check that
out. Yeah, it's really good, a good read. Not just my part, but all of it. Yes.
But check out Mark's part.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the big thing with me and Transformers, man, Chris, you were just talking about how you had this experience from when you were a kid with the USS Flag, and then later on it just kind of recurred, right? You know, you saw it when you were older in the garage sale and all that. That's kind of been the thing with me with Transformers. I mean, I play with Transformers. I played with G.I. Joe. I played with Masters of the Universe. I played with bunches of different types of toys when I was a kid. But Transformers really stuck with me for years and years, right? And so the biggest thing is kind of a semi-traumatic event that happened to me in 1984, right? So I loved Transformers, watched the cartoon, read the comic books, loved them. And, of course, the biggest thing was I wanted Optimus Prime, who is, of course, this red and blue big rig with a tractor trailer, and he's got the cool voice on the show. He sounds like John Wayne or whatever. And so I wanted that toy more than any of them, right? But of course, Optimus Prime, it's an expensive toy. So you couldn't just get that for like, hey, Dad, we're at Walmart. Can we go to the Transformers aisle? You know, then you're ending up with Bumblebee or Cliffjumper. You know, it's one of those little guys. So right. I asked for Christmas, I wanted Optimus Prime. And that was really the only thing I wanted in 1984 was Optimus Prime. And it's actually on a shelf behind me. It's a 1984 JCPenney's Christmas book. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've memorized every page that had the Transformers on it. You know, I mean, I just obsessed over this. And I kind of had that tendency when I was a kid, I would just be just bonkers over whatever it was. If it was like choose your own adventure books, I'd read all of them before I would go on to the next thing, you know? So I was into Transformers. And one day I come home after school and my mom's on the phone, and she kind of walks around the corner into the kitchen, and I'm just kind of paying attention, and she seems to be making an order on the phone. And she says, yes, I need one of item number, blah, blah, blah. And I had memorized the item numbers in the catalog for the Transformers, right? So I knew that my brother was getting Megatron and I was getting Optimus Prime. And so I was so stoked, right? So I had to act like I didn't know what was going on.
Impossible.
It was hard. It's impossible. Yeah. So, you know, the big day's coming. It's getting here, and I am just so ready to wake up and open up Optimus Prime and play with him. And I had a lot of other toys, you know, other Transformers, but you know, you need the big guy, you need the leader. So it comes to Christmas morning. I wake up. We're opening toys and opening gifts, and I'm looking at all these packages, and I'm like, "That's not the right size package. That's not the right size package. That's not the right size package."
No.
And so we just keep opening. And we get down to where there's one more package left for me. And I look over and my brother's opening a package and it's got Megatron in it. You know, Megatron's the big bad guy leader who changes into a gun, right? And so I'm like, this has got to be Optimus Prime. I know that this is Optimus Prime, but it just feels too small. It's just, this can't be right. And so I open it up. I rip the paper off and it's a Transformer I already had. It was Prowl. It was Prowl, the police car. And my dad, Well, and I love Prowl. Prowl was like my favorite one up like next to Optimus Prime, you know? And so my dad's like, now here's the story, Mark. You know, and I acted fine. I tried to act nice, you know, but I obviously I was disappointed. You know, you're 10 years old. You can't really control your emotions that much. And so dad's like, now I know you were wanting Optimus Prime and we ordered one for you, but they were sold out. They were sold out at Penny's, and we could not find one anywhere for you. So he said, I knew you broke the hood off of your Prowl toy, and I figured you'd want a new Prowl to replace him. And I was like, that's great, Dad. Thank you. And that was a good gift, right? Yeah. But I didn't get Optimus Prime, and so I was pretty disappointed, you know. And you know, obviously, I had a whole pile of other loot, so it was kind of. But it's still a big deal because you're 10 and that's what you had your heart set on.
Did the words, what the hell, ever leave your lips at age 10?
No.
What is this?
I was a good boy. I had thrown a fit at my 10th birthday party that earlier that year because of a gift. So I had vowed to myself that I was never going to complain about a gift ever again. But anyway, that's a story for another time. So later on in life, so like a few weeks later, I come home after school. The bus drops me off. I'm walking the last 3 or 4 yards down to get home. And I see there's a UPS truck in our driveway. And I'm like, it's Optimus Prime. It's got to be Optimus Prime. So I run home, and it was just clothes. It was just mom had ordered some clothes somewhere. I don't even know. So I was convinced that Optimus Prime was in the back of a UPS truck for like the rest of my childhood. I thought that, you know, we'd be running around town and I'd see him. So anyway, so the big joke when I was growing up was that my parents had failed to get me Optimus Prime, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a funny story. All right. So, well, maybe we should just stop there. There's more that comes later on, but it's just like, you wanted me to pass on. I feel like I'm dominating the conversation.
No, please finish this. I got to know what happened.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I get to where I graduate from high school. I go to college. I move out and I'm like buying, I buy the Transformers animated show on VHS tapes. And I'm watching all these old episodes and I'm just like, wow, you know, I wish I could still find an Optimus Prime somewhere. And, you know, I think eBay was out then or there was somewhere online where you could look for things. So I'm looking and Optimus Prime is just like, he's kind of expensive. You know, it's just hard to find. And this was the early days of, you know, finding stuff on the internet. So it was just too hard for me to find one. And when I did see them, they were like really expensive. So I was like, well, I just can't do that. I get married and then we've got kids. And then I think it was 2001. Now there had been Transformers like on TV, like the Beast Wars stuff. Are you guys familiar with that at all?
Is that the dinosaurs or things like that?
Yeah. It's like dinosaurs and apes and things like that. Yes. Yeah. But I never really got into that. I don't know. To me, if it was just like, if it wasn't a plane or a tractor trailer or a car, I just didn't want to really care about it too much. Although that doesn't make much sense because I love the Dinobots from when I was a kid. But anyway,
Dinosaurs, those are awesome,
right? They were cool. So that, you know, I never really watched that too much, but then in 2001 this new series of Transformers comes out called Robots in Disguise, and it's basically cars again. There's like cars, there's trucks, there's actually an Optimus Prime who looks kind of like the old one, but he's a fire truck. And so of course, you know, I've got a son, you know, the kid, my son is, I think he was 7 then, and then we had a baby. And so I was like, oh, these kids need these toys. These kids need these toys. So,
sure.
You know, even though the oldest son was in, you know, was visiting family for the summer, I went ahead and bought him some of the toys and opened them for him so they'd be ready when he comes back, you know. So that just kind of piqued my interest about these things. And there was a huge Transformers fandom and stuff online. And so I kind of got into that kind of thing. Well, a year later,
What year is this?
The Transformer. This was 2002, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe 3, but you know, early 2000s. Right. This kind of 80s nostalgia thing came up. And so like there was Transformers comic books again and all this. And so they actually reissued a bunch of the original Transformers from the 80s. And one of them was Optimus Prime. After almost 20 years, jeez. I told my dad, I said, hey, you know, there's this Transformer. And so if you need to do all of my mental insecurities, all of my little quirks and things, they'll probably go away because of this psychotic episode has been erased from my childhood. If you will just get me that Transformers Optimus Prime. And they're like, here's some money, go get this toy, son. So finally, after like almost 20 years, I get an Optimus Prime. And so I got to open. Yes, I know. I was so happy. And you know, great. This is a cool. Yeah, it was great because I got to open it with my kids. My kids were there on the couch next to me when I opened this up. And it was just such an incredible moment, you know, to open that toy in front of them.
You know what your dad should have done is bought you a prowl.
Yeah, he should have. He really should have. That would have been funny. like the booby prize. Again, it's Prowl again. Oh, yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
And then, you know, and then got the Optimus and, you know, and gave it to you afterwards. But that would have
yeah. Always a Prowl, yeah. Never an Optimus.
Yeah, that's so, right.
So when you opened it with your kids, did they know what it was? Were they excited or was it?
Yeah. They knew. They knew that this was a toy that I had had when I was younger. And, you know, I had showed them my older Transformers. I had kept some of them, not all of them, from when I was a kid. So they had some of the older ones too. And they had watched the cartoons with me. I had kept, you know, we had watched those on videotape and stuff. So they knew who he was and they knew that he was special to me. So that was really cool to do that and to open that with them. And they of course have been big Transformers fans too, because when your dad's into it, you know, the kids can get into it really well, yeah. Especially when it's toys.
Definitely.
So,
man.
Yeah. It's funny. You were talking about during the summer, how you bought the toys for him and opened them. I still get toys every now and then, especially like a lot of the Star Wars figures and stuff. And a lot of times we'll go and like, I don't go to the, where I live, there's not a lot of stores around. So we have to go to the town down the roads, but we don't go there that often. It's like 30 minutes away. But when we do, we kind of hit everything we need to hit. We don't just go for like one thing. We kind of wait and do it all at once. So a lot of times, you know, there's a Target there. So they always usually have some cool toys. So a lot of times when we go, it's kind of like, well, they've got like 5 Star Wars figures, and I know if I don't get them, I'm never going to see them again because of where I live.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So a lot of times when I go, it's like it kind of looks like Christmas in a basket. And whenever we check out, they're always like, "Oh, you kids like Star Wars," and I'm like, "No, no, no, those are mine. Don't bend them.
Yeah.
Put them in the bag."
Exactly. I know. I'm the same way because it's like there's so many times where I'll think I can come back at payday or whatever, and it'll still be there, and. But then I go back and it's gone. And so my wife is like, just buy them. Just, you know, you don't want to take, I don't want to see you moping around because you don't have the right kind, you know, that 251st Transformer, you just got to have it. I understand. She's very understanding about that stuff. So that's helpful.
how many do you have now? How many in your collection?
Okay. So you have to realize, but let me preface that, you know, to try to make me seem like I'm totally not psychotic. This is like from when I was a kid and then stuff that I bought with my kids. I mean, it's like 15 years of stuff that I've been buying, you know?
Right.
And I think there's 250 or so out right now in my office. And there's probably at least that in boxes in the closet that I kind of rotate out.
And do you have
once in a while.
Anybody that you see on a weekly basis to talk about this issue or no, I'm kidding.
No,
I'm the same way with beer.
No.
So I completely.
Oh,
understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How I justify it. I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't, fancy cars. So, you know, there's guys that'll spend $5,000 on a boat and I probably don't have that in the whole collection for the past 15 years. So, you know, at least that's what I'm telling my wife.
Well, no, that's true. That's true because a lot of people don't look at it like that. Mm-hmm. They'll go out and buy a $300 pair of pants. And I'm like, dude, I could buy a lot of toys for $300.
I know some people who would spend $4,000.
You can. That's right. That's
G.I.
right.
Joe boat.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's great. What would people do that for? They share with my kids. And of course, getting back in touch with, I don't know, it seems like nostalgia means a lot as I get older. I'm 41 years old now. And, you know, just being able to have the stuff that I really wanted when I was a kid, it just brings me a lot of happiness, I guess. I don't know. They look cool on the shelf.
And if it brings you a lot of joy, definitely. I'm the same way. I've been collecting a lot of like old 80s electronics, cassette recorders and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the same thing with the beer glasses. I'll sit here and stare at them. And Shelly's like, what are you doing? I said, just admiring my collection.
Yeah.
And I'll sit and stare for like 20 minutes. And I like the logos and I like the, you know, I think about how they taste and I think about, you know, this one's different from that one. That one's a different print. That glass is like that one, but it also has another insignia on the side. And I think that's so cool. It's like,
Shelly
shakes her head and walks away. But
just
you know,
your thing. Right. Yeah. Do you duck? dust them? Okay, see, I have to do that with the Transformers, and it takes like a day and a half to get them all done. But, you know, they look great when you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple bookshelves, and I have one of them. It's like a whole bunch of Star Wars figures. Then I've got some G.I. Joes. I've got some Indiana Jones. I don't like make dioramas or play with them, but they're there to look at. You know, I just like to look at them. It, you know, they look cool. One of my kids like, "Hey, when are you gonna play with them?"
Yes,
and I'm like, "Well, sure. I don't really, you know, I'm not really gonna play with them, but I just like, you know, it's kind of like a sculpture to me. It's cool, you know. Every now and then I'll get some down and play with the kids. But I was talking to my brother, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, it's like some people have paintings in their house, or they've got knickknacks or whatever that they like to look at, or they like to decorate their house with." And for me, it's like that's kind of what some of these toys are. It's like a sculpture. It's and plus it's kind of inspirational with the art and stuff. It's all relative. Everybody's got their thing that they like to, you know, spend money on or look at, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Transformers to me, it's like it's so neat because it's a robot, first of all. And I think robots are awesome anyway. I mean, robots have you know, in Star Wars, they were cool in anime, they're cool in everything. And it's a robot, and then it's also like a truck or a plane or a, you know,
it's like two toys,
spaceship or whatever it is. Yeah, and it's also a puzzle because you have to figure out like how to get it from one mode to the next. So I don't know. It's just to me, there's a lot of imagination in them, and there's marvels of engineering really when you look at some of how these things are put together. It's really cool.
It's very creative to come up with something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, when I was a kid, I actually had the Optimus Prime toy.
Very lucky man.
Well, I don't know if it's the one that everybody else had. Mine was not like, and I'm playing to camera. Mine was like this. I mean, it was tiny. It came in two pieces. That was the cab and then the trailer after it. And it was small. That was the one. Okay.
Probably.
Yeah. I ended up breaking it because I couldn't put it back together. I remember that the back opened up, the trailer opened up to make the legs, and then you took the top part and put all that upright and made them stand up. And then whenever I would get so frustrated because I would try to put it back into a truck and I couldn't do it. My brother could do it, but I couldn't. I don't know if my motor skills were off. I always ended up breaking it. I just wanted to put that nugget in there when it came to the toys. I had a couple of them. I remember that. I definitely had a couple. And Bumblebee was always my favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah. Everybody likes Bumblebee.
I had a couple of the little ones that you just folded their legs under and their arms, and they're real simple. Like they're real, real kind of small. And then I still have Grimlock, the dinosaur, the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I have him. I think I have one or two others. Used to have Jetfire. That was an awesome Transformer.
That's a fantastic toy. Yeah. That was actually an import from another toy line. It was I think it's Matt Robotech or one of those, Macross.
Yeah.
That's why he looks a little different, but he is a sweet toy. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. That's an expensive one to find, too.
It is, yes.
I watched the cartoon as a kid, and then I liked it. But I wasn't like crazy about it. G.I. Joe was kind of my thing. But Transformers, it was always cool. And then I remember when Beast Wars came out. It was like CG computer animation. Mm-hmm. It was all right. But like you said, I didn't really care for the animal part of it. And then every now and then I would see something with Transformers, so I knew it was still around. But then. Mm-hmm. Several years ago on Cartoon Network, they had the Transformers Animated.
Yeah, and that was a great series.
And I started watching it, and I was like, this is awesome. It's Transformers. They kind of updated it and stuff, but they kind of kept some of the stuff. But they had a lot of humor in it with the little girl and with the Autobots. It was kind of like a Teen Titans. It kind of had that feel, Teen Titans. But
Yeah.
It was really funny. The design was really cool. I know I was watching on Cartoon Network, and then I think they kind of started monkeying around with the time and stuff, because I'd show up to watch it and it wasn't on. But anyway, I have the whole series on DVD now. But where I'm going with that, that's the first Transformers I bought ever, since I was a little kid. You know, I bought almost all of them that came out like that first season or two, and they are so awesome because the Transformers, they look just like the cartoon character. So when it's the robot, it looks mm-hmm. just like the you know, it's not kind of like, oh, it kind of looks like him. It looks just like him.
Yeah.
And then when it transforms, it's just like the vehicle. It's so well done. Oh, man, I love them.
I wonder, I'm sorry, I was going to say, wonder what goes through the minds of the people who have to turn that into something. You know what I mean? The ones who are like, okay, whoever imagined this, I want to smack them because of the hard work that they're going to have to put into turning that into something.
Right. Yeah.
And have it be logistically correct or mechanically correct. You know, that would drive me nuts. That's the part that I can't fathom. That's just,
yeah, that's some serious engineering.
Exactly. That's some technical wonder.
The cool thing about the animated series was it came right on the heels of the first live-action movie. Mixed feelings about that, which we'll probably talk about later, I'm sure. But when it first came out, some of the promo art and things like that, there was a huge uproar in the Transformers fandom that this was going to be the worst thing ever, and it was going to be awful, and you know, and all this. And it ended up being like my favorite series since the original G1 stuff, probably because it was so funny and clever. The show was just funny. I mean, it was just way more entertaining than the other shows had been. And the toys were brilliant. Like you said, just such a unique art style in the show. And they copied it in the toys, which was just just wonderful how they managed to capture the kind of the cutesy-fied looking toy, you know, parts of the toys. And made it look good. And boy, we loved watching that show. We loved having the toys. And it came when my kids were just like, the oldest one was almost done with Transformers. The youngest one was right in the middle age for it. And so it was a big deal for us. Was animated. It was easily the top ones as the originals for us. So you got good taste, Chris, when it comes to getting into Transformers animated.
Yeah, that's the that's actually the only one I've really seen other than the original. I've seen like bits and pieces of some of the other ones. I think there's one on now, Transformers Prime or something. And I've seen like one of them. But man, that Transformers Animated is awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Mark, do you have any of the Transformers Action Masters?
I actually don't have any Action Masters at all.
Oh, no.
I know. They're kind of hard to find. Because they came kind of late in the G1 stuff, so they're kind. And I don't have like a particular affinity for them because I never had any when I was a kid. But I mean, the idea of them is pretty cool. A Transformer that doesn't transform.
what are these? Explain what these are, because I have no clue what they are.
The Action Masters was basically, instead of a Transformer that transformed into a truck, it would be a Transformer that was just like an action figure. And it was more articulated than normally the robots were, but it would come with like an accessory or something that it might have. Like, I know the Action Master Optimus Prime would actually drive a truck. So he was the robot. You just put him into the cab and he would drive the truck along behind. So it was kind of like, it was more like the G.I. Joe type thing with the vehicles and the other weapons and accessories and stuff, but it was Transformers as the base. So it was kind of an interesting take on it. It's kind of split people's opinions on it. It's like, oh, Transformers that don't transform. Why would you want that? But, you know, these same guys will pay $400 to have a statue of Optimus Prime. So, you know, what's the difference?
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny that they're driving vehicles because they transform into vehicles. But I just heard about them, I don't know, like 6 months ago. And I'd never, ever heard of them. And it's really cool when you can still find something online or whatever that you didn't know about. And I saw a picture of it on a blog, and I was like, what the heck is that? And then I started looking them up and everything. And I'm like, that's so cool. I never knew about that. So that's pretty fun.
There was some really weird stuff that came out. Like, for me, Transformers, I was done with Transformers probably big time after just a couple of years. I went down to G.I. Joe, and then it was like D&D and I was in band, and then I was too old to play with toys, you know? So, but, like in the late 80s, Transformers got really strange with some of the things they did. They would have, One of the things was Pretenders. Have you heard about Pretenders?
Mm-mm.
I've heard the name. I can't remember what it is though.
Yeah, so it's like they have these things called Pretender shells. So it's like it looks human on the outside, or like a guy in battle armor or something like that. And you pop it open, and it's like a case, you know, like those nesting dolls or whatever. And on the inside, there's a transformer.
Oh wow!
So they've got like a yeah, and so like the good guys were like these guys in armor, and then the bad guys were monsters. And so they were pretty interesting. It's kind of they had their Pretender shell, and then there was Headmasters, where there was a little robot that turned into the bigger robot's head. Target Masters were like a little robot turns into the gun. All sorts of wacky stuff like that they came out with, just to keep the brand relevant, I guess.
Yeah,
sure,
definitely.
Do you still get toys now, like the new stuff? I was looking at Walmart yesterday at some of the Transformers, but I don't really know what they're if it's off a cartoon or I mean I don't know what it's based on anymore.
This is kind of the deal. For the past 5 or so years, they've had kind of a collector line and then like a kid focused line, okay. And I'm more focused with the collector line because it's geared towards older fans or people who are more in tune with what the Transformers brand has been about for a long time.
Right.
And so the big thing this year, it's called Combiner Wars.
Okay.
And basically it's like, you remember like Devastator, the big construction vehicle one. Okay. And then you might remember Superion, who was like the jets that all, there was 5 jets that transformed into robots, and then those transformed into one big transform. Okay. Well, they never really redid those characters in effectively in the past like 30 years or so of Transformers since Generation 1, which was the stuff in the 80s. And so now this year they started putting out these characters, and it's modern engineering. You know, like the toys look way better than they did when we were kids. And they still merge together, and they can change into a foot or an arm, and then they can all merge together and make one enormous one. And so I've been buying a lot of that line because it's just filling a lot of the holes in my collection here, you know, because that's like one of my things is I wanted to have newer toys and older toys for the characters from the first 2 seasons of the show, which is a pretty grand goal. And I'm not done yet, but that's just kind of what I was looking at. So for a long time, they never made really these combiners as new toys. And then this year they're starting to do that. So, and they are really, really cool. I mean, they look great. They look very similar to the cartoon models. Like they're just a lot better toys now. You know, the engineering and the quality of the things has gone up exponentially year by year. And so I've been buying a lot of the new ones from the Combiner Wars, especially now. When it's a movie year, I don't really buy a whole lot of movie toys. Just the aesthetics of that doesn't really appeal to me. This year has been a big expensive year as far as the new toys go.
Do you want to talk about the movies real quick, or you want to talk about something else?
We could talk about the movies. Let me just say this first. What are your guys' opinions of the movies, the new movies, like Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, Age of Extinction, all that stuff?
Kevin, you can start.
Sure. All right. Well, the first Transformers, first I heard Michael Bay was doing it, and I got a little worried that Michael Bay was going to do it. Then I heard Steven Spielberg was funding it and also producing it. Then I was like, okay, let's check this out. So I got to watch it. And the first one, I was blown away by the physics, just the sheer physics of the movie, blown away by the way it was done, blown away by, and not referring back to the cartoon at all. And I did watch the cartoon when I was a kid. I figured this to be a separate entity from that. It was going to be something different. Again, watching things turn into things. The sounds in that 5.1 blow your head off theater was amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
And all that. I had never heard it before, even in The Matrix. You know, when they did as many cool sounds as they could, it wasn't anything like that. It was something amazing.
Right, right.
Okay, so the first movie I thought was incredible. The second movie, I made it up until Shia LaBeouf had an issue with a ghetto robot, and I couldn't get that. I couldn't, and all of a sudden cliches were thrown around, and it was like, Michael Bay is a little more free in this one. I wish Steven Spielberg would smack him around a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Please come home. And then but I made it through that movie, and I got the first one from my daughter took it. I had the first one, she took it. So I don't have the first one anymore. That's basically the only movie I like. Third one came along, and I think I fell asleep, and that was it. I woke up for the ending fight in the woods, which is pretty cool. And I thought that was neat. And then I just saw the Mark Wahlberg one. Mark Wahlberg is so dreamy. Have you seen this guy? He's awesome.
He is a great actor.
He is. He's great. He's going to be good in a new movie coming up with Will Ferrell pretty soon. They did another one together, by the way. Something about being a stepdad. But anyway, so I watched it in the Netflix in the bedroom, and I'm watching it, and I fell asleep. I made it through. I mean, Mark Wahlberg was fun. I'm sorry. Mark Wahlberg was fun to watch. The cool thing was watching the Dinobot being found, but I think I fell asleep through any chance the Dinobot's doing anything. I haven't finished it yet. It's still still sitting there. Yeah, but every time I try to watch it, my brain just says, okay, we're going to bed. And that's it. So the first one I loved. The rest of them, that was a shame. And Shia LaBeouf was smart not coming back for... He was like, oh no,
yeah,
this has gone on too. I've got to do promotional videos and motivational movies. And you know, I have no time for this. So
right.
that's my view on the movies.
But you, Chris.
Okay. So like Kevin, the first one I enjoyed. I'm gonna try to do this quick. I liked the first one. I actually like Shia LaBeouf. I thought he was funny in all of them. In the first one, I did not like the little bit of the potty humor. There's a little bit in there. I don't think that's necessary in a Transformers movie because you just don't need that. It's a movie for kids for all ages. It's not like I'm a prude, but it doesn't need to be there. There's no reason for it. But I liked it. I do not really care for the design of any of the Transformers, really. It's just, it's too much. There's too many pieces. There's like so many pieces. And the thing that kind of bugs me about them is if you took my car and you took it apart and you made it into a robot, it wouldn't be that big. There's not enough mass. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not enough parts to make it that big. I mean, it's like they took Optimus, he's an 18 wheeler, and all of a sudden he's like 3 18, you know. But it's a movie that's cool. Okay, so the first one, other than that stuff, it's enjoyable. The second one, I've never been able to finish it. So I don't know. I kept falling asleep. I think from what I remember, stuff didn't make sense. But I never finished it. But I want to watch it again, but it's not on Netflix, so whatever. The third one I liked. It had some crazy action. Some of the stuff in there didn't make sense with the plot and this and that. And it was like, what? But if you kind of just turn it off and like, this is robots and it's action. It's fun. I thought it was fun. Oh, which one's the one with the robot girl? Is that the third one where he's in college and he's got the girl and she's a robot?
Yes.
That's so dumb. Okay. Anyway.
I liked it.
Yeah. It is
because why don't they all turn into humans? And anyway, okay,
exactly. So.
So I like the action. It was fun. I like Shia. I mean, it's fun, but it's none of it makes sense, really. Where am I at? The fourth one.
Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, I just watched that the other night for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fourth one. I think Mark Wahlberg is so funny in that movie. The way he's like talking to the other guy about his daughter, and he's like yelling at everybody, like "You're gonna get over here now." Anyway, I thought it was really funny. But again, so much of that stuff just doesn't make any sense. Now they're made of transformium, and like what? it's funny, but my problem with the fourth one is the robots in the fourth one really suck. Their characters are just horrible. All of them, all the Autobots are just like jerks. One of the guy, it sounds like John Goodman. He's got like a cigar, but it's a bullet or something. But that's stupid. Right. Why would a robot, you know, have a fake cigar, much less a real one. But
it's a habit. It's a habit.
Yeah, it's and then one of them's got like a trench coat. Why would a Transformer have a trench coat? I mean, but it's a metal trench coat. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's the genius of Michael Bay, my friend.
Yeah, right. I mean, the robots were horrible.
Yeah,
Sadly to say, I think the fourth movie is all about the people. The robots just kind of, you know. But I will say this, and I may get banned from the internet, but I enjoy Michael Bay if you
call the internet police.
I know, right? Whoa, my connection. I'm losing my connection.
Yeah, wee.
There's somebody knocking on my door.
Kevin's calling him. Better watch
out. Calling the hotline. So, I'll never be able to connect to the internet from my house
again. You got Christopher Tupa, Michael Bay fan. Christopher Tupa.
Wait, I hear helicopters.
You're in big trouble.
You hear outside your door.
Outside. Whoop, whoop. There's a spotlight. But no, I mean I like the big action. I like the way he makes things look. The stories suck and all that kind of stuff, you know, but as far as the way things look, I think he would make an awesome G.I. Joe movie. I'm sure it would make sense and the people would be jerks and all that kind of stuff, but the way I think he needs somebody to write his stuff for him and he just needs to direct it.
Yeah.
You know, strictly direct because, the guy makes stuff. I mean, I've never wanted to join the military more than watching one of his movies. He makes that stuff look so badass. I mean, just everything's
he's got good angles. I'll give you that. There's great angles, especially in part four.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of cool manly angles with that.
So what do you think? What do you think, Mark, of the...
Well, okay, so... My kids were just like perfect age when the first movie came out and we got full on whole hog with it. And my oldest actually wore my Optimus Prime voice changer helmet to the theater.
Oh,
so we all had our Transformers shirts on. We were so ready. And
awesome.
I, like Kevin said, I was blown away by the effects, just the transformation sequences, just the way the visual look of the movie, the sound, it was just like a feast for the eyes and ears, right?
Yeah.
And it just thrilled me that was my beloved toy franchise that this was based on. And no, it wasn't like the old ones, and that was fine. And there were some sequences that made me uncomfortable watching it with like my young kid, a little bit too much Megan Fox, you know, and the whole scene with mom catches him in his bedroom and all that. That was and you know, Bumblebee pees on the guy, whatever, you know, it's the lowest common denominator, but that's movies for you, right? So we went right as soon as the movie was over, we went right to the store and bought toys. You know, we were absolutely good consumers for the first movie. And then the second movie comes out. I was very excited. We had bought a bunch of the toys when they had come out, like a month before the movie comes out, all the toys come out. So we had bought like almost all of them that were available at the time. Go to the movie, and like 7 minutes into the movie, there's one of the robots is swearing. There's the racial slurs later on by the robots.
By the ghetto bots.
Inexplicable plot. Yeah. The whole pretender woman that was just like TNA. It was a horrible movie. I mean, it was just so bad. And when Devastator's got wrecking balls hanging out from between his legs at the end, I mean, I was just like, are you kidding me? Yeah. What kind of a... Whose idea was that? This is a true story. They actually filmed that movie during the writer's strike. Like half the movie was already done, and then they wrote the movie. That's actually why that movie. One of the reasons why it's so bad. So, that just got such a poor taste in my mouth that I kind of was done with the movies, and I didn't go see the third one in theaters. I watched it when it came in on DVD.
Right.
It was okay. The fourth one, no interest whatsoever. I've heard it's just overwrought, too long and inexplicable. Yeah. And I think the thing that really bothered me, this, and I know this sounds stupid, but, you know, I love Optimus Prime. He's one of my favorite characters in any media.
Yeah.
And like in the end of the second movie, he's like goes into full on homicidal maniac mode. He's like, give me your face. And he rips the face off of the opponent, right? And it's just like, that's his thing for the rest of the movies is just do what I want or I'm going to kill you. I mean, isn't that how he gets to a buddy of mine's like, he just threatens to kill everybody in the fourth movie. That's all he does. Is that basically what it's like?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
there's actually a part where he's like, he says something like, I'm going to find them and I'm going to kill them. I'm like, is that Optimus?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the guy whose motto was freedom is the right of all sentient beings, you know, when I was a kid. It's just not the same. And I know it's a different character or whatever, but yeah, I couldn't take that. It's just bad. And the toys, I think, are like Chris said, the design of the toys, it's just like you put things in a blender. And that's what it looked like. You can't recognize what any of those things turn into. To me, that's the cool part is like I can look at Optimus Prime and I can tell he's a truck because he's got, you know, the grill of the truck and the windshield on his chest. Or I can look at Starscream and see the wings. I can look at Megatron and see the gun barrel. But you look at movie Megatron from the first movie and it's just like this razor blade of parts all like a chaotic mess. You can't tell what those things are supposed to change into. And I don't know, just the whole, I just thought they kind of dumbed it down a lot and the extreme violence and the just potty humor and the vulgar stuff is just like, does this really need to be in my Transformers? You know, and I know it's not my Transformers, but it's still disappointing. Now, the good thing is it keeps toys on the shelves. Yeah. It keeps interest in the franchise high. And that's why we're able to have good years when the movie toys aren't off the shelf like this year when they're still very popular and kids are still buying them. So I can buy them too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But, in the fourth one, the Transformers cuss a lot. It's not so much the people in the movie, but it's the Transformers. And it's like, how can you justify putting that in a movie? I guess they don't expect little kids to watch that movie or they don't care. But I'm like, as a parent, I'm like, how am I going to take my kid and be like, oh, these Transformers are awesome, and then they're just cussing the whole time. It's like, what the heck? But
I mean, they make the toys literally. There are toys that are made for like 5-year-olds and 4-year-olds. They're really simple to transform and stuff that are based on the movie. And it's like, you need to clean it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's got to be saccharine sweet like the cartoons, but you sure don't have to have that kind of thing in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get the attention of the adults as well as the kids. And if they can drag in the adults, you know, because all adults curse just like that for no reason. And but it's money. They figure if they can throw some curse words there for the adults and then, you know, be cool for the kids, this way they'll get more money at the box office.
That's true. That's true.
Cover the entire gamut there. And then Michael Bay can finally buy that 18th yacht.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Michael Bay, did you guys see the Ninja Turtle movie?
No.
No?
I watched the last half with my kids. I don't know about
the first half.
I was just doing something else and they decided to watch it. I had vowed that I wasn't going to watch it with them at all because I was afraid that it would, you know, I loved the Ninja Turtles when I was a kid too. And I just didn't want to see them, you know, smoking pot or, you know, whatever I figured they put into the movie. But, you know, it was okay. Yeah. It was just, it's kind of CGI ugly a little bit maybe, but they were funny looking. I don't know. What'd you think of it, Chris?
I can't remember why, but we took my kids to see it in the movie theater. We don't go to the theater very often at all. And when we do, it's always like a treat for the kids or whatever. So all I ever see in a theater is like kiddie shows, but, which is fine for me. But, so we saw it at the theater and I actually really enjoyed it. I think, that there's a lot of humor with the turtles. I think it was really fun. Some of it was kind of a little over the top. It was like a little bit unbelievable, but it's fine. It's a big, it's a big action movie. It's the turtle. I mean, you know,
absolutely right.
The only thing that kind of bugged me was, well, there's two things. One, the turtle, what's his, Donatello? He's the one that likes April O'Neil. He's got like, she's hot or whatever, but like, why would a turtle think a person's, you know, but whatever. But
that's just kind of weird. You're right.
They do that in the cartoon. So it's not like, it's not like that's Michael Bay's fault, but the only thing that stood out was at the very end, the turtles are fighting Shredder, and Raphael's like, "We're getting our asses kicked," and I'm like, "Oh man, you made it so far," and you know, and again,
you
I mean,
made it so far.
You know, I cuss, so I'm not saying, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm perfect, but it's kind of hard when you're enjoying this movie and all of a sudden you just hear, they're getting our asses kicked. And I'm like, oh, all this theater is filled with little kids.
Well, you're cringing for the kids.
Yeah. It's like, why can't you say we're getting our butts kicked? I mean, really, like these little 5-year olds don't need to hear that, you know, but anyway, I actually own the movie.
Because they're going
to
go home and say that because they love the turtles. Yeah,
exactly.
Crazy.
Raphael said, "We're getting our asses kicked, Mom." I'm like, oh.
Could have said, "We're getting our rumps ruined." You know, anything.
There you go. Yeah, really. We're getting our shell shocked over here.
Exactly.
Throw in some more turtle puns. I mean, that's what made that show great.
Exactly. Yeah, just unnecessary.
We're getting our snapper saddled. You know, something.
You should be a writer for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 movie.
Call them up.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm kidding.
The Transformers toys showed up in several 80s movies. What's
right? Being a big Transformers fan and a big 80s fan, I watch a lot of 80s movies. You know, with my kids now, just to kind of because that's like the heritage that I want to pass on to my children or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you see these toys from the 80s show up in these movies all the time. And so I'm always like pausing it and being like, I have that guy. And I'll run to my office and grab him off the shelf, you know, like in Top Gun. Right. You know, everybody loves Top Gun.
I love Top Gun.
Classic 80s movie. Mm-hmm. Obviously one of the best ones from the 80s. So when Goose meets his wife and kids, like they come to the base or whatever. I can't remember the exact scene, but there's Goose and his
tarmac.
Well, his kid is playing with a gray jet, and the gray jet is actually Starscream, the original G1 toy. And it's cool because you know his dad flies a jet, and then he's got the jet toy. So that's kind of a neat little scene. Another one is I think it's The Great Outdoors. That's John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, right?
Yeah.
They're in the middle of the woods, and one of the kids is playing with it's a Transformers toy called Six Shot, which is a Decepticon, and he changes into six different things. It's like a wolf and a spaceship and a robot and a gun and all this other stuff. So the kids playing with him in that.
We were talking earlier about the engineering, and Kevin was saying how he'd want to hit the guy that came up and said, "Hey, make this Transformer look like this." Can you imagine someone coming up and saying, "Hey, now you got to make it turn into six things."
I want a wolf, a pizza box, a donut, and a...
I've actually got a Megatron that changes into 10 different things.
Oh, my God.
And it's ridiculous, but it's like... The 10 things are like, you know, when you ever watch like a magician or whatever, and they do the balloon animals.
Yeah.
You know, and every animal is really a dog. It's just basically a longer neck if it's got a giraffe or, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. It's kind of like that. It's like, well, if you squint your eyes and look just right, it looks sort of like an elephant here, but that's it.
I want one that turns into a Rubik's cube.
There you go.
That would be amazing.
My favorite little bit from the 80s movies with Transformers, you guys have seen Spaceballs, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know the part where they're talking about Spaceballs, the toilet paper, Spaceballs, everything, the merchandising of the movie, and they're actually showing the videotapes and all that. They have Spaceballs, the coloring book.
Okay.
And it's actually a Transformers coloring book that has the Spaceballs logo pasted on over the Transformers logo. Yeah. It's Optimus Prime on the cover of it. It's totally awesome.
Oh, wow.
Check for it next time you watch the movie.
We just saw that recently, my wife and I, and I totally missed that.
It's awesome.
Oh, I got to watch that again. Definitely.
Yeah. And this is funny because I had those three things that I'd identified just to talk about during the podcast, those three movies. But this weekend, my son is really into The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's been like chain watching him, you know, recording because it's in syndication or whatever. And last night we were watching, and he's like, Dad, check this out. And Will Smith's playing with Beast Wars Transformers, which were in the mid-90s, right? And he's all like, you know, Razor Beast is going to kill you, blah, 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 blah. He's playing with him right there. And I was like, that's totally awesome. So even when in the Beast Wars years, the Transformers were still being seen on the screen. It's kind of neat.
Oh, wow. Man. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was kind of coincidence to see that just a couple days before that podcast.
I don't know if I missed this earlier. Were you saying you tried to collect, like, every Optimus Prime ever made?
Well, let's just say I've got a lot of them. This is kind of how that all started. So I told you I didn't get the one when I was a kid, right? So
okay.
Then my parents gave me one, and then I actually had the one from that 2001 series that I bought for my kid, air quotes.
Right.
So then my mother-in-law just gives for Christmas one year, it's an Optimus Prime that she had seen at the Sam's Club, and she just bought it for me because she thought I'd like it. And I'm like, this is great. So I go home and I've got like four Optimus Primes. And so then it's like every Optimus Prime you see, you want to buy it then. And so, you know, later you've got like 100 and some odd, and you're like, I need to scale back on the Optimus Primes because they make an Optimus Prime, of course, for every single series. So every year or two, or every year, there's multiple Optimus Primes that come out because he's the big character, you know. But yeah, I've got like several. I'm looking around. There's probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 of just him out right now.
Oh, wow.
I've scaled it down a lot. But you know, some of it will be like, oh, the Happy Meal toy, you know, or things like that. And yeah, cause there's the merchandise was especially during the movie years has been really big. So people will like, they know I collect Transformers and like Optimus Prime. So it'll be like, hey, I found this Optimus Prime napkins and I bought them for you. Ha ha, here you go. You know, that kind of thing. So you end up with things like that.
When I was a kid, we had an Optimus Prime voice changer. It was like solid plastic. Well, it was supposed to be Optimus Prime. It was red and his head was blue and he had little blue arms. I think they moved. But on the back, a little plastic pipe, well, not plastic, like a plastic straw kind of thing, would fold out. And then you kind of breathe into it, and it would change your voice on the front of it. Did you guys ever, cool. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I've seen that, or I played with it when I was a kid, but I don't know if it was mine.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have one, but I've seen them. I don't have it, no. But it's in that Christmas catalog, I think.
Oh, nice. I wanted to get one for this podcast and use it and, you know, talk. I looked on
I don't
eBay
know if my voice changer helmet still has batteries in it or not. I could put this out here.
That would be awesome.
I'll be right back. Let me go check and see. Hang on just a second.
Yeah, definitely.
Miss Prime is out of batteries, fellas. I'm sorry.
When I was a kid, I remember having a little tiny, not a tiny, it was pretty big. It was like a toy box where it had Optimus Prime in the front. It didn't turn into anything. And you'd open up the back of the truck and then you could put your toys in it, close the truck, had a little handle, and then you put your toys away.
Yeah, that's a Transformers collector's carrying case. They made a couple of those, actually. There's one that was like from 84. Yeah, and they made another one a couple years later when the first animated movie came out in 86. They made another one for that, I think it was. Okay. I never had one of those, but they are pretty cool.
Yeah, I used to have one of those.
I have the G.I. Joe carrying case, Chris. You'd probably like that.
What's
it's
that one?
Stuffed
like?
Full of my old vintage Joes and then some of the new stuff my kids got.
Oh, yeah. Just send it over to
me. It's got, it's about 2 feet wide and maybe a foot tall. And, yeah. And it's got,
Seems
Jay and Duke and somebody on the front. And it's all decorated with flags. I know. I know. But it's pretty neat. It's full up of broken G.I. Joe guys.
Wow. Yeah, the rubber bands break.
Hearing you talk earlier about the Star Wars toys, do you remember the Power of the Force toys from back in the 90s?
Was that when they were real muscular?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yeah, I have almost all those. Unopened.
Okay, well.
Wow.
And opened.
Right. I bought a bunch of, I probably had Yeah, I probably had 20 or so of those that I gathered when I was like right before the prequel or the special editions came out or in town, right. And just tried to collect. And so I get married, and I was, we had my wife's son. He was 4 when we got married, I think. And so, of course, it's very hard to explain why these toys have to be kept in the card and whatever. So one year I just gave them to him all for Christmas one year. And so we opened like 20 or 25 of these Power of the Force toys. I don't think they're worth much these days, but, still, it was cool to watch Jim play with them that day.
Definitely. Yeah, that's pretty cool. My kids have been pretty good when they were younger. I have a lot in boxes and stuff because I don't have the house that we live in. I was telling you how it's really old, but it's all windows because I guess when it was 100 years ago, they didn't have air conditioning. So if you wanted to cool your house, you opened all your windows and the breeze would go through. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there's hardly any space to hang anything on the walls. And my dream is to have a wall where I have like all the figures like in the card. I want it to look kind of like a toy store, but I don't have the wall space. So anyway,
I've got
some bookshelves. I've got some stuff out. And so my kids have been pretty good when they were young. I'd like, you can look at stuff, but don't touch. This is daddy's. You got your own toys. You go play with your stuff. And, but I started when they were young and, so they understand. I mean, it's pretty cool because they can come in my room and it's where I do my art and stuff. And I've got my toys and I don't have to worry about them like opening stuff behind my back, like, oh my God, what are you opening? So,
No,
it's pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, but you were talking about the power.
I'm not big on keeping them in the box. There's just I don't have the room.
There's some figures I've bought just for the packaging because I do, I do art and stuff and whatever, and some of the packaging is just so cool that it's like, well, I'm not going to open that because, or I'll buy two, because one I really want to open, but I'm like, man, that packaging is so awesome. And so I'll put that away just, to look at it. Because some of the packaging is so cool. When those Power of the Force figures came out, let's see, I wasn't married yet. And they showed the extended release or whatever where they had the original trilogy and Lucas kind of added a couple scenes here and there. And it came back out. Well, I've always been a Star Wars fan, but for some reason, I never saw Star Wars. Oh no, maybe I did. Okay, I did see Star Wars. But when I went to see Star Wars, they were giving out action figures, but it was Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi. I don't know why, but all I know is she's my wife now, but we were dating. We went to see Star Wars, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we've been waiting for my whole life for this, And we went up. We just went up. We bought the ticket, and they gave us each. Luke Skywalker dressed in the robe from when he goes to see Jabba, and it was in the new packaging. And I'm like, holy cow, I didn't know they were giving away toys. And we both got one. It was so awesome. We went to see the movie. Well, anyway, so we both have one. And then at some point she gave me hers. Well, like you were saying, they're not really worth anything now. But when all that happened, those figures were worth like $150 and we each had one, but I'm like, I got mine at the movie. It's kind of a cool deal. I don't really care how much it's worth. Yeah, I'm not gonna sell it because it's a cool memory. But I was like, well, we could sell it, But anyway, but we never did. And so now I was like, well, I don't really need two of them. But it's like, it's not worth anything now.
Right. I remember that. I remember waiting in line to see, I think it was Return of the Jedi when they were given away at our theaters, but we had, like I said, me and my buddies had been going around trying to find all these. And we see, we see that they're giving away this figure when people are walking into the theater, like into the actual auditorium. And so we're like, dude, we're going to get free Star Wars, guys. This is awesome. And, we waited in line for, like 2 hours because it was insane, the wait time for that first night show. And right before we were to get in, this mother and her two kids snuck the line right in front of us. And we were like, we were not thrilled about it, but it was no big deal. And I'm kidding you not, those two kids got the last two of the Luke Skywalker toys. And I was just like, oh, no. And I looked at it, you know, I looked at, like, we could see people had them. And I was like, hey, can I see that? You know, to someone sitting next to me or whatever. And it's just the same toy as the one that I already had at home. But it had, like, a different label on it or something, yeah, right? So I was like, I'll give anybody in this room $20 for their, you know, their one. And they were like, oh, no, it's worth way more than that. I was so mad at those kids. And they just open the package and, like, left the package there in the theater and were, like, probably put it in their popcorn doing all this. It drove me nuts, but oh, well. I got over it pretty quick.
You know, you're much stronger than those kids.
That's right. I should have just wrestled them to the ground, you know. Come on, kid.
Take it and run. You can see the movie another day.
Oh, boy. Man.
Did they make any other figures for the movies, or was it just for that one?
I don't remember any for the others. I think it was just for Return of the Jedi, at least where we were. Now, it may be different. Where are you in Oklahoma?
No, South Texas, yeah.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Return of the, I guess it was Return of the Jedi I saw. That makes sense why they were giving out that figure, but I wonder why they did Return of the Jedi and not like Star Wars, but maybe their figures weren't ready or something. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know.
The only one I ever saw in the theater from the first the original was Return of the Jedi. I remember seeing it when I was I'd be 6. And we bought like drinks or popcorn or something, and they had little stickers on the bottom. And if you peeled off the sticker and you could be an instant winner, you could win some kind of prize. Or if I think if you collected enough of the stickers, you could mail them off and get that same Luke Skywalker with the black one with the robe. And
cool.
Yeah. And so that's what I don't remember so much of the movie because I was 6 or whatever. But I remember after the movie's over, my brother and my dad, we walked down the aisles looking for people's cups that they didn't peel the stickers because not everybody did or whatever. Okay, so anyway.
Right.
So that's kind of like my memory of the movie. Well, flash forward, I think last year I made like a little book, and in it I drew pictures of all the toys I've ever wanted, like that I don't have or, you know, what, just for fun. Like,
yeah.
And yeah. I think in there I talked about that cup or something. Well, anyway. So this has been, what, like 35 years or whatever after the movie.
Yeah.
My brother, and I've tried to find stuff online about those cups, and I could never find anything about anything. And all of a sudden, my brother emails me, and he's like, hey, I think this is the cup you're talking about. Somebody's selling it on eBay. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I get on eBay, and it's the cup. The sticker's gone, but it's this cup. And I'm like, holy cow. And it was like in England, and it was like $20. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I don't know. Well, like a week or two later, there was one in the U.S. for like $8. And I'm like, oh,
awesome.
Okay. So I got it. But it's like for 35 years, I can't find anything about it. And then all of a sudden, there's like two of them for sale. I'm like, what the heck? So anyway,
that's
a total
cool.
Nothing to do with Transformers, but
that's funny. You know. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was really quickly going to give you a very, very strange eBay story. My dad put out an album called The Masters back in 1972, and it was a church album that he did. And it was him it was three other people, folk music. It was, if you ever seen the movie The Mighty Wind, that was my dad. It was like that. It was pretty sad, but that's what he did.
No, that's cool.
It was actually very cool, and it was cool to, you know, listen to that growing up. But so he put this album out. And there was signed copies that he did. And, you know, you were great if you had a signed copy. There's probably like 300 pressed at the LP store. On eBay, I found one. Some guy is selling it on eBay and for $100. So I got in touch with the guy. And I was like, dude, first of all, he lived in a different country. It wasn't Greece. It was somewhere else. And I kept harassing him like, I'm the son of the lead singer of this band. Look at my name, Kevin Zerbe, Bruce Zerbe on the album. you know, put two and two together. Where did you get this album? And he like ran from me. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And it drove me crazy to this day. And I don't know if he got his $100 for my dad's album or not. But I was like, you know,
oh, wow.
Talk to me. How did you get this album? You know, and he probably picked it up at a a pawn shop or a thrift store. You know, somebody gave it to a Goodwill or something. I don't know. But he got it in his hands. He saw signatures on it and figured it's something from the 70s. It must be important. So I'm going to get $100 for this. But yeah.
How frustrating that you didn't get it.
Oh, it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts that he wouldn't answer me. You know, like, how'd you get this? Just and I've sent him countless. That's my father. That's mess with my family, man.
He's probably got a restraining order on you in that country.
Yeah, probably.
You're gonna fly there. You're gonna fly there one day, and as soon as you step off the plane, they're gonna arrest you for that.
I'll just look for the house that's playing folk music with my dad singing.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it was. It was really strange to see it on eBay. It was weird.
Wow. Well, I've got a story about the Star Wars cups. If you want to really prove that I am crazy. As if people didn't already think that after hearing everything else from before. So this will take the cake. So on my wedding night, we leave the wedding reception and we were both starving to death. This was in 1999, May of 99. And of course, Star Wars Episode One was huge right then. Okay. So the first restaurant we come on is Taco Bell. We pull up. I mean, literally, we've got cans streaming off the back of the car and all this. I'm in my tuxedo. She's in her wedding dress. And we pull up at Taco Bell, and I see they've got Star Wars cups. And it's you could buy the toppers, right, with all the different characters from Star Wars Episode One. So I was like, you know, we need, you know, blah, blah, tacos, burritos. And how much are your cup toppers? So I got all of them. That was our first major purchase, was all of the cup toppers from the Star Wars The Phantom Menace on my wedding night on our way to the hotel.
That is awesome.
I picture you and your wife drinking out of those every anniversary.
You know, I sold them at the garage sale. It was like stupid, you know. Just had too much stuff and just try it. Well, I was like, well, I'm into Transformers. I should have kept them. They were on top of my computer desk for years. I should probably buy another set now, you know, just to have them back.
Oh yeah, because that's wedding day.
Exactly.
Those cups are actually really cool.
They are cool. A couple of those. Really cool.
Yeah, I got R2-D2, and I think I have Jar Jar. He's not as cool as R2, but R2's – oh, man, those were some cool cups.
Jar Jar was cool because you could suck it through his nostrils, and that's how you didn't need a straw.
I'm going to try that, Kevin. I hope you're right.
Sure.
All right, Transformers. Anything else you guys want to talk about Transformers?
I feel like we've exhausted the topic pretty much. I mean, I could keep going, but I'm sure that's enough for one night.
Okay. I guess that's going to wrap up TupaCast Episode 4. I really appreciate you guys joining me tonight. I had a blast. It was really fun talking to you guys. So where can all the listeners find you guys? We'll start with Mark. Where can they find all your goodness?
My website is markalley.com. That's markalley.com. I blog there a little bit. It's got links to some other stuff that I write online. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at markalley, or on Facebook at the facebook.com/markalley.
Awesome. Kevin?
You can find me at zerbinator.wordpress.com. And there's a bunch of goodies there for you. Music, podcasts, friendship, kindness, sunny days, and
Kevin's funny got things that make you. On there.
There is some.
I
podcasts.
Saw that. You got tons of podcasts on there.
Yeah.
Currently, I think I'm at. Yeah, that meant there's a lot. There's a lot to enjoy.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, man, I really appreciate talking to you guys. That was
what about
fun.
You?
Oh, what about? Oh, yeah.
What about you, Chris?
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can find all my stuff at ctupa.com. I've got a blog. The podcast is up there, ctupa.com/tupacast. I'm on Instagram. On Instagram, I am Art of Ctupa. I try to post art every day. Tumblr, whatever, it's all there. Ctupa.com. And really appreciate talking to you guys. I can't decide right now if I want to watch the Transformers movie or watch the animated cartoon? I kind of feel like watching some tonight, so I'm not sure. I kind of want to dig out some toys, too, play with some toys.
Watch the animated stuff again.
Yeah, good stuff. I have to agree.
Yeah. All right.
Go for the animated.
Sweet.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. I had a wonderful time. It was great to be on here with you both.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Right, same here. Thank you again, Chris.
Yeah, man, that was cool, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Tupacast. Tupacast can be found on iTunes or at ctupa.com/tupacast. Christopher will create original art relating to each podcast that will be for sale on the website. Proceeds from the sale of art will go to help pay for the hosting fees. If you have a topic idea for a podcast or would like to be a guest on Tupacast, email tupacastpodcast@gmail.com. Feedback and comments are also welcomed at iTunes and via email. We hope you have enjoyed listening to Tupacast. Bye!
Power to the people, man.
Tupacast.
That's a good thing, right? What? Click, click, click!
I want my tater tots. I want my tater tots. You don't know.
Yeah. Time to say goodnight, bro.